Medical Breakthroughs, the research journey. Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Caroline Burden, and you're about to join me on a journey into the fascinating world of medical breakthroughs. But not just any breakthroughs. We're diving into the personal stories, the setbacks, the you will not believe this moments behind the cutting edge research happening right here at Leeds Teaching Hospitals NHS Trust. Coming up in this episode.
The advance now is that we have personalised cancer vaccines. So people who have been diagnosed with cancer, a sample of their tumour is taken, the genetic material can be extracted, and the particular mutations of that individual's cancer can be identified, and a vaccine developed that is personalised in that it's directed at targeting those antigens that were present in that particular patient.
Yep, you heard that right. Personalised cancer vaccines that are based on our own immune system. To tell us more about it, this is Professor Chris Twelves. He's the Professor of Clinical Cancer Pharmacology and Oncology at Leeds Teaching Hospitals NHS Trust.
What it means in reality is that something that we have striven for nearly a century may become a reality. And that is the idea that we can harness the immune system that we have in all of us against cancer. And that's not a new idea. The observation was made decades and decades ago that very occasionally a patient with cancer would get a nasty infection and the cancer would, for a while, get better. It was as if the immune system was responding to the infection, but it was also having an effect on the cancer. So the idea of harnessing the immune system isn't a new one, but it's one that's taken a long time to come to fruition. So unlike the situation where infections, where it's been relatively straightforward to use vaccines, perhaps because a bacterium or a virus is actually very different from a normal human cell, in cancer it's been more difficult because although cancer cells behave badly, they are still human cells. So they're not as different as a bacterium or a virus. But this is something which has come together recently, not through vaccines, but through drugs that stimulate the immune system. Over the last 10 or 15 years, we've had a number of advances in treating cancer. And these have been with drugs that get over the process whereby cancer cells can hide from the body's normal immune system. So in a number of cancers, such as lung cancer and melanoma, immunotherapy has become part of standard practice. And that was the case 5 years ago when the COVID pandemic hit. Now, when the COVID pandemic hit, there were a number of companies working on cancer vaccines using a technology which I don't think I'd heard of at the time, but many of us were now familiar with, the words mRNA technology. And when the COVID pandemic came along, companies that had been working on mRNA vaccine technology in the context of future cancer studies turned this in the direction of treating or preventing COVID. And as you know, that proved very successfully. So with the COVID pandemic largely sorted, these companies went back to where they had been before and looking at using the same technology against cancer.
And so tell me a little bit then about the research that's being undertaken in Leeds.
Well, the particular area that we're talking about of personalised vaccines is one that's very much come to the fore in recent years. When cancer vaccines initially were used, people tried, for example, mashing up cancer cells and seeing if you could re-inject part of that mashup of the cancer, take away the nasty bits and see if you could stimulate an immune response. And that didn't really prove very successful. As time went by, researchers became better at identifying the proteins or the antigens that were associated with cancers. So vaccines were developed against the antigens that were common in breast cancer or common in melanoma. And that had some success. But the advance now is that we have personalised cancer vaccines. So within what's called the Cancer Vaccine Launchpad, which we're part of at Leeds, and it's a national initiative, what is being done is that people who have been diagnosed with cancer, a sample of their tumour is taken, it's sent away to a laboratory where the genetic material can be extracted and the particular mutations of that individual's cancer can be identified, and a vaccine developed that is personalized in that it's directed at targeting those antigens that were present in that particular patient. So the hope is that by this very much more focused approach, that we may take cancer vaccines one, two, three steps further forward.
And obviously, you know, it's still quite early in terms of the data that's coming out of this research. But how is it looking so far? Because that sounds like an incredible, incredible advancement.
Well, in some of the what are called off-the-shelf cancer vaccines that have become available again in the last 3 or 4 years, with one of those, the initial trial in people with melanoma who'd had their melanoma, their skin cancer treated, and then to try and prevent the melanoma coming back, they had either immunotherapy alone or immunotherapy plus a vaccine. It did look as though the vaccine made a significant difference. So that's being pursued in larger trials now. These more refined personalized cancer vaccines are at an earlier stage, but the hope is that this may indeed be a new generation of cancer treatments.
And what difference does it make to patients compared to the other treatments that are currently available?
Well, there's many aspects to that. I don't think that cancer vaccines are likely to mean that we can write off cancer chemotherapy and drugs like that altogether. But I think it's unlikely that advances in new cancer chemotherapy drugs are going to have a huge impact in terms of new treatments, whereas the cancer vaccines offer an extra layer on top of the current established treatments. One of the things about the personalized vaccines is that because the vaccine is being developed for that individual patient's cancer, you've got quite a big challenge as to how you coordinate and organize all of that. And that's where the cancer vaccine launch pad has come into play. And the way that this is working is that there are a network of sites across the country which are running a trial in people with bowel cancer who have had their operation. They have come to their cancer doctor after their operation, and if they take part in this trial, a sample of the cancer is taken and sent to the laboratory to have the fingerprint, to have the profile taken. And the CVLP, the abbreviation for the Cancer Vaccine Launchpad, is a way of referring patients from their local hospitals into central hospitals where they are set up to process material and actually deliver the vaccine study. In the first iteration of the Cancer Vaccine Launchpad, Leeds was what we call one of the hubs. We were one of the peripheral centres where we were seeing people with bowel cancer, and if they were suitable potentially for the vaccine study, then we passed them on to the Christie Hospital in Manchester to go on to the trial, hopefully. What's happening now with people with head and neck cancer is that Leeds will be one of the centres where we actually do the processing of the patients rather than sending them on to another centre. So we've moved closer to being centre stage as part of that process.
I mean, it sounds like the future looks incredibly promising and very positive for patients.
Yes, one of the things that I've noticed, I've been a cancer doctor for 40 years, and if you want the cup to be half full, there've been huge advances. Many more people diagnosed with cancer now survive, are cured, than 40 years ago. The treatments that we have are less difficult, less unpleasant than they were 40 years ago. But if you want the cup half empty, we still have large numbers of people dying of cancer. And I think it's more likely that we can make inroads into those remaining cancer deaths by developing new approaches such as cancer vaccines rather than simply refining the treatments we have at the moment. And if we were to, you know, look forward 5, 10, 15 years, I think what would be the situation we'd like to see, which is optimistic, but we'd like to see, is that a wider range of patients, after they've had their initial cancer removed, would be able to have their cancer profiled and, as part of the treatment to reduce the risk of the cancer coming back, have a vaccine. And in that way, we'd have the prospect of actually curing a higher proportion of people who are initially diagnosed with cancer.
And what is the timescale that we were, is it sort of 10, 15 years that we're looking at from now to that likely to be becoming a possibility?
It's hopefully 5 years plus. These trials, it can seem frustrating, but these are large trials. They need to be conducted very carefully. We need then to follow patients up after they've had the treatment to see whether indeed the number of patients in whom the cancer comes back or progresses is lower with the addition of the vaccine to standard treatment. So it does take time, but I think there's a great sense of urgency, certainly within the cancer community, within the regulators and others, to try and move this process forward as quickly as possible.
Is it hard to get patients to sign up for trials?
It generally isn't, actually. But having said that, we need more people to sign up for clinical trials. But I think there's a number of angles to that. Firstly, I think we need to publicise clinical trials more to a greater extent. I think we should encourage patients, whenever they're having an interaction with their doctor or their healthcare professional, to ask, is there a clinical trial that I could take part in? Younger generation have good access to the internet. The older generation have good access to the younger generation, where you can look online and see where there might be trials available. We also have to encourage our medical and other colleagues to go that extra mile of putting people into clinical trials, because it takes extra time, it takes extra effort. And when the health service is struggling to deliver everyday care, going that extra mile is a challenge. But again, we are seeing improvements. We are seeing larger numbers of patients going into trials. So I think if we can maintain that momentum from our public, from our patients, from the clinicians, and enthusing people to take part in these trials, I think there are real opportunities to make substantial steps forward.
And with the personalised vaccine trials, are there still positions open there? Are you still looking for patients?
Oh, yes, yes. This will expand over the next 5 years to a substantial extent. If we think back, it's only now, 3 years since the end of the COVID pandemic, when this technology and the focus moved into mRNA vaccines, both for infections and for cancer. Because perhaps COVID had been infection, the infection vaccine trials moved rather more quickly than the cancer vaccine trials. So already there are a large number of infection vaccine trials taking place across the country. We took part in one looking at to prevent norovirus infections. We recruited 40 patients or 40 subjects before Christmas. So the infection trials are very much underway. The cancer trials are on the up and up and will become more prominent over the years to come. So very much something for people to ask their healthcare professionals about.
And you can find out more in the show notes. Coming up on our next episode.
What we're finding is that people's walk-in improved during the time that they're wearing the headsets, and then for a variable period afterwards. So they might be able to then nip to the shop independently and back again in that period of time. We're very keen to look into this more with further research.
Yep, using the cutting edge technology of augmented reality glasses to improve the mobility of patients with Parkinson's. Medical Breakthroughs, The Research Journey is an Under the Mast audio production.